The Google Podcast app is going away in April. Right now, I want you to take a look at the podcast app you're using right now. Maybe it's time for a new one. Check out podcastapps.com and try a new one for free right now. That's podcastapps.com.
Hi, friends. It's Carrie Dahl. Thank you so much for venturing into the inner circle with me. If you subscribe to my podcast and have been listening for a while, thank you. I appreciate you. If you're new, welcome to my circle, where the power of story is honored and I believe all voices need and deserve to be heard. As a former news anchor turned podcast host and public speaking coach, I know that stories are the most powerful way we connect as human beings. I feel privileged so many of you trust me with your stories, whether in my private Inner Circle Facebook group or right here on my podcast. Your story is your gift. Thank you for allowing me to share it with the world. Friends, do you have people or friends in your life that are just so darn accomplished that sometimes you forget all that they have accomplished? And I use the word forget loosely because they've become such dear and trusted friends and advisors that you simply see them for that. I'm blessed to have many people like that in my life. And today, I thought it would be the perfect time during the holidays to share the story of one of those people. He has accomplished so many amazing things. If I read his entire resume, seriously, it would take up this entire podcast. We will touch on his career and some of the highlights during our conversation, but let me begin with this. He's been a massive cheerleader of mine and so many others in the media business for years and supported me in ways I didn't even know was possible, and did so by never, ever expecting a thing in return. That is just who he is. He gives of his time selflessly to people, to our community, to the city of Edmonton in countless ways, and has changed the lives of those who need it. He helped launch so many charitable initiatives over the years, and I'm sure he will tell you he learned from the best. His dad is the creator of a charity many of you know and love called Santa's Anonymous, an Edmonton-based charity that gives toys to children who otherwise wouldn't get a thing at Christmas. And I know so many of you listening right now have been involved in Santa's Anonymous in one way or another, helping wrap gifts or perhaps delivering gifts to families across the city. And if you know, you know, the experience of being involved in something like that is life-changing. Speaking of life-changing, he has had a huge impact on my life. He leads by example, and he has helped me many times over to grow my podcast so these amazing conversations can be heard and shared around the world. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Friends, it is my deepest honor to welcome one of my favorite people on the planet, the one and only Marty Forbes to the inner circle. My friend, finally, I get you here.
That's funny. I'm listening to that saying, geez, I'd like to meet this guy. He sounds pretty cool.
Of course, you would say that.
I was thinking back to my retirement time, and I think you pulled me on TV or somebody did and did this nice little chat. You called me the godfather of radio. And I went, is that a good thing?
Well, you are. You are like of the media industry in Canada, really. Your career is so decorated. And even before we hit record, we were talking about a few things. And I mean, you've seen it all. You've seen it all in this industry and still involved in this digital age. Like, do you ever stop and go, wow, it's been fun?
Yeah. No, I do. You know, and you reference dad, it all goes back to dad. But I just look back at how blessed that I had been to be born a Forbes, be born into a family where my other two brothers and now my daughter are in it, that allowed me to hang with the best possible people in every field, mm-hmm. to work with the top broadcasters in a culture where I could make a difference. I could tell the owner of the place or have a fight with him about what I believed, mm-hmm. without having to worry about getting fired, and was offered opportunities that were just gifts to go, would you like to launch a new radio station in the city that your dad made? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be okay. And then I had that twice. So, I mean, just a great deal of pride. But I think blessed is the word, because there's just so many neat things happened. And if there were bad things, they actually ended up opening a door to a better thing. So there are mm-hmm. some people that you know, I left their properties or it just didn't work out, that I thank them today saying, you know, thank God that happened, because now I get to enjoy this life. So, and then the post-retirement, you know, allowed me to, I mean, I'm an early adapter. I had the first 28-pound Betamax for $4,000, the first cell phone, you know, $2,500 installed in the car for another five. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff. But the digital thing allowed me at a perfect time to study what was happening in the business. So it's not like I went out and said, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I adapted, and I still love learning today. I mean, I spend a ton of time still learning today. Yes. And I'm proud of my friendship with people. I'm happy to help people that care about their lives, their families, and their careers too. And I could walk up to you and say something and not offend you, you know, that maybe somebody else could say, you know, you can't. So there's a massive mutual respect for the people that I call friends and that I worked across the hallway from.
You know, you touched on something. There's a few questions that come out of that answer, Marty. And the name Forbes, I mean, it's legendary. Let's be honest. Everybody knows the last name Forbes, and it started with your dad, and we're going to touch on him momentarily. But I'm going to forget this if I don't mention it now, because I remember the first time I saw you and I'm like, wow, that is the great Marty Forbes. And I was very nervous. And I think you came up to me and you said something along the lines like, hey, kiddo, you're doing a great job. And I remember that to this day, because when you move into a 6 o'clock anchor spot, that comes with a great deal of pressure, responsibility, and to hear that from you was everything. And I know that you've done that with so many other broadcasters around, but that compliment from the great Marty Forbes was everything to me. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're well. I think what I started with, God, you have the best hair in television.
That's right.
I think that it was, but no, and I, you know, media is a talent business, and it's also 24/7 business. And when I see people, Chris Sheets, for example, mm-hmm. you know, laughs that I would phone after he did that run to the border to save the cattlemen's, I can't remember what the cause was at this time, or the farm equipment where he's driving. And he says, you know, you work in the competition. I said, well, no, that's what radio is all about. Mm-hmm. That's super serving. That's understanding. And this really is a business where you don't get a lot of compliments. You know,
you're right.
But and I just don't have a problem with walking up and saying, you know, God, I love what you're doing. Would you like an external opinion? Yeah. And they respect me enough to say, yeah. And I tell them if I'm wrong, don't worry. You can't offend me. I'm just giving you my opinion. And so, no, I respect, you know, you had a tough gig. That's a tough, tough gig. And I have a double respect for females in this business. Yeah. You know, the whole family thing changes every dynamic. You know, the guys I hang with head to the bar at 5, and the mom's heading home after a 40-hour week to look after kid who's had a problem at school. I have nothing but respect for women in this business.
Thank you for acknowledging that. You know, one of the things I love watching you talk about your dad, and you said that right off the top. You just said, well, it all begins with my dad. Tell me about him.
Okay, 6'5", used to wear cowboy boots for another 2 inches and a cowboy hat for another. So when he spoke, you listened. But you know, the background is mom and dad broke up in 1961. Devastating. We all moved to Toronto and would come out for the summers and spend time in the summers. And I got to see at a really, really young age what powerful radio is and what, you know, the type of fun that you can have in this business. And back then, you've got 5 or 6 radio stations, and I won't get into too technical term, but the share is everything. That's how you're judged. Mm-hmm. So the percentage of listening at one point, Ched had a 55% of the tuning in a city. 55% of the people. Unheard of. Yeah, it is unheard of, right? Yep. And in today, that would take 8 or 9 radio stations all combined. For so sure. That just shows you how powerful. Mm-hmm. And it was a top 40 era. And dad, my dad was, you know, a Corvette Stingray convertible. Every suit he had was handmade by Henry Singer. His pipe, he would come home and stoke up a fire and listen to Ella Fitzgerald and Dinah Washington. Wow. And then the doors would open up and Senator Tommy Banks comes and sits in, right? Wow. Ronnie Hawkins shows up with the band one day. I'm sitting there as a kid going, you know, meeting the band before they were the band, right? Yeah. And then listen, and, you know, Mitch Klimov, Messier's uncle, and all these people. And I was so lucky to sit there and just listen to industry leaders, dynamic, creative people that also had fun. These are crazy, crazy people. So they moved, Dad moved down to Storyland Valley Zoo at that time. And I had my last year at Bonnie Doon. So I would bus all the way back and forth. But the benefit, the best part was that I would hop off at Ched at 107th every single day, and I would go into the radio station, and they would stop and teach me. So Bob McCord, the biggest disc jockey, Don Kay, Al Anderson, Len Toussaint's there, and Keith James is there, and Stan Ravindahl. And each one of those departments would sit me down per day, and I would sit in and learn. This is before Nate. So on June 1st, 1970, I had one exam at Bonnie Doon to finish. Dad said he's come pick me up. So he rolls in town and it's a red Corvette with a convertible. You can't miss it. Picks me up, drops me off at the old train station. And there's a letter that says, do not open until you get on the train. And I get on the train, I open it, and there's words of encouragement and a check for $100 to help me. I have that on my wall in my office for 52 years. Okay. Oh my gosh. And because he in the Santa's Anonymous thing and what Ched did, you know, one of the lessons listening to him, he gave me 5 or 6 things I'll never, ever forget, was don't ever forget the power of your radio station, the power of what this radio station can do. And so the Santa's Anonymous was a staff of maybe 20. 300 toys tops in the basement. So they would stop the station down and they started with that. Okay. And now, you know, I dropped in last week to the Jerry Forbes Center named after him and Santa's Anonymous and see this $21 million building named after him. Right. So I, you know, my goal was to come to Edmonton and be a general manager. I wanted to beat my dad. Okay. And so he ran 1, I ran 3. I win. But there's no buildings named after me, and there's 4 streets named after him. So Brother Gord went into sales, hugely successful in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Jerry's one of the top, he's in the Hall of Fame. Dad's in 2 Hall of Fames, right? So the line we used to use, we would only come back Christmas all together. We said we never had Christmas, we had a convention. So it was so it was this amazing, creative, dynamic man. The one thing that made a huge difference in my life that he did, he would always point you in the right direction. He wouldn't make a decision for you. Mm-hmm. So I would come home and say, Dad, I got this job offer. What do you think? And he would logistically make me spell it all out. Well, if you go down door number 1, you go down door number 2, if you go down door number 3, now let me know which one you think. And that was it. And then I came back one day. I got this great new job, my first programming job. I've had it for one day. And I'm telling him about the, you know, the whole logistics. And he says, well, what's your next one? And I stopped. And I said, what do you mean, Dad? I got this today. Yeah, you accomplished that. What's the next one?
Oh.
Always have the next one. So it stayed ingrained in my life. Every move I made, if it was any strategy to it, mm-hmm. and I veered a couple of mistakes, but it was always, okay, if I get to Edmonton, I'll get to Vancouver. I launched a station there, make 9 years, get to Toronto, the pinnacle, and then, you know, get a phone call from Gary Slate when I'm back in Vancouver saying, how would you like to go home? And that's when I came back in 1992 and we started work and launched the Bear. And then, you know, and always in prime positions, always either a program director or a general manager. So I was always part of the creative process of making mm-hmm. great radio. And it's not like that today, you know. So that was a nice part to have somebody in front of me all the time, just to sit and talk about life and what ifs kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away way too young at age 58, I had just met my wife, Kim, and literally at the funeral, I leaned over to her. I said, I'm retiring at age 58. And I did.
So happy you did.
Oh, am I ever.
you miss him, don't you? I can see the emotion in your face. And
It's really hard to explain to people if they don't know. A Creature is Stirring is a thing that my dad wrote that has been airing on Ched Radio mm-hmm. since 1965, every single year. And I appear with Jay Lynn every year as part of the campaign. And her line is, you know, what do you feel when you hear that? And I said, this may sound weird, but I have to dial it out till a certain point. It's there. Everybody's talking about it. It's there. But I come home and I turn it on by myself and I listen by myself. And then my Christmas is made, right? Mm-hmm. And I had Brother Gord, they had Bob McCord died last month, and Barry Allen, we finally, after 2 years, did a tribute to him. And Gord flew in and said, he said, is it always like this? I said, Gord, I hear my dad's name daily, mm-hmm. weekly, and now I hear it 10 times a day. On television when they're doing cut-ins. It's from the Jerry Forbes Center, yes. right? And the Santas Anon, and all this kicks in. So I somewhere in the middle, I have to separate. That's Jerry Forbes. Yes. And then on this side, 41 years after he's passed, my dad. So it's hard to explain.
Wow. Like, such an incredible legacy. But I go back, before I leave Santas Anonymous, what was the why behind your dad doing that? Because he was having the time of his life in radio back then, and parties were awesome. It was a lot of fun. Doing something like Santas Anonymous was a big initiative, but why? Was there something that touched him? What is the story there?
Yeah, he and my brother have an amazing knack for making sure that everybody, regardless of their status of life, are treated with respect. And, you know, he used to say, Charlie Manson and Jesus, come on for dinner. What would you fellas like for it? I mean, it's that crazy, right? And even as a kid, as a young kid, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10, I used to watch when other friends would come over, and let's say a 6 or 7 year old little girl would crawl up on his knee and he would turn into jello, right? He loved kids. He just felt so bad if life wasn't going perfect. The Eddie Keene eulogy, the last line is, Jerry, now the insensitivities and cruelties of life will bother you no more.
Oh,
okay. 41 years.
Oh, wow.
So he truly built into me the understanding that what I did in the community, what people do in the community, will somehow come around and touch you later in life. Mm-hmm. The Bears Kids Fund, nothing but kids charities, and we redid when the hospitals were having all the problems and cutbacks in the Ralph era. We went into the Royal Alex and took over the one hospital room beside the neonatal, the heart monitor area. And it looks like any other one, but we open it. It's a Weston suite. We put it there so that moms and families could go in there and have to deal with this horror and all that, right?
Yes.
And we bought 8 heart monitors for that neonatal. Over my years, in the 17, 18 years, I lost count at least 12 either staff members, relatives, or neighbors used those heart monitors.
Oh, wow.
And I would come back to the station and through my United Way work, always convey this to them. This is you guys. This is our radio station. This is what we do. And he was right. You know, it's amazing how many times kids with cancer ride a motorcycle. What happens? Your best friend, you know, wife has cancer and you're going, I'm going to help.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just ingrained. And Jerry in Calgary, the same thing. Some of the things he did to help the, you know, Calgary situation down there. He's also 6'2 and a couple of 100 pounds. I've watched mm-hmm. him go around a corner and cry like a baby too, you know. But no, this is a big community, and I have great pride that I was able to make life better for other people.
And you did at every station that you went to and headed up. It was always all about the community. So walk us through just the highlights of the career, where it started, where you went through. Let's hit it all so people have an understanding of everything you've done.
Well, it's funny. When I retired, I wrote a thank you note to every single person who hired me.
How many was that?
That was a dozen, including the first owner, John Skelly of CHNL in Kamloops. And I said, why would you hire this kid with no experience out of the blue? And here's how I've ended my career. I got a handwritten note back from him, 82-year-old man at that point, saying his last line was, I always knew you'd do it. Okay. Oh, so I did that. So to get off to a start like that, the top 40 era was throughout the entire 70s was pure insanity. I mean, just you'd open the front door and I don't know, from 1975, the lady that ran naked under the Grey Cup. Well, she came into the station and spent an hour wandering around. Hollander, you know, the deep. The Rolling Stones, your first party ever was with the Rolling Stones, Stevie Wonder, Martha Reeve, and the Vandellas. The clients would phone and say, you know, hey, I got the, you know, meet me at the airport with five of the other guys tonight at 11 o'clock. And I go, why? He says, well, I got a treat for you. I said, we got to be at work tomorrow. He says, you'll be at work tomorrow. Get there, hands us the tickets. We fly to Reno, Nevada, gamble all night long, hop the same plane back at 4 o'clock in the morning, arrive at 7:30 and go to work.
No. First story. No. Oh my gosh.
And then we never, you know, stampede. The announcers were so huge. We never paid for anything. I remember showing somebody through Ched and coming in the back door there. And there were five Corvettes in the parking lot. And the guy says, geez, the sales guys do really well here. I said, those are the announcers. That's my dad's in the announcer. That's Rob Christie and Len too. That's the announcers are driving Corvette Stingray convertibles. So it was this insane era. Then I was really lucky to see, you know, at the right time, what was happening to AM radio as opposed to FM. And I got hired to work at CJ at that point, the first rock station in Western Canada outside of Vancouver. And it was an operations manager, and I had to do some on air, and that's not my strength. So the break came out of Lethbridge, Selkirk, who said, how did I become a program director? Well, my friends think I'm insane after all this major market to go to Lethbridge. Best thing I did in the world.
Why?
I learned how to be a manager of people. I learned community. I learned sales, respect, engineering. I had to learn everything to be able to come up and run a major market radio station. The nicest people in the world. Nobody, there was no, you know, the parties were at somebody's house every single Friday. You know, at minor towns, they treat you like stars. And that.
Yeah.
So that app opened a huge door until 81 when Dad died. And it was devastating. I got an impaired charge. I felt sorry for myself for a month and all wrong. So I had to come up here without a driver's license and launch a brand new radio station and bury my dad and sell his house and take all his things away. And I had a guy the other day was laughing. One of my posts, I have his pipes. I have every single one of his pipes. I got 30 of his mm-hmm. pipes that are in my office as inspiration and feeling them and that. From there, it was a bad license. It was McLean Hunter. They were just getting in it to flip. And I built a new license to present to them. And as I'm walking in to present it, I get the general manager's hand. He pulls my file back and shakes his head. What's going on? He says, we're not going to do it. So I kept the license. I went back in the next day and I said, Ralph Connor, I said, Ralph, I can destroy my career better than you can. I'm going to leave. Within a day, I get a call from Selkirk again saying, come to Vancouver and meet Tom Peacock, the general manager. Well, I met at the airport. I adore this man. He takes me to his boat. We go load the thing up with booze and cruise around Center Bay and talk for 2 days.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, okay, it's CJazz. It's not doing well. It's a specialty license. We'd like you to flip CJazz into another format. Guess what I pulled out of my luggage? The license I've been working on.
Oh my God.
I handed them a license. Carrie, that was $1 million a year loss. And I think I asked Gordy the other day, he said, I think they were billing around 15 million a couple of years back, pre-COVID. So that wonderful Pete. Yeah. You know, a lucky break. And sadly, it's funny, after all these years, this was 86 when we flipped. Anytime there's a jazz column that shows up in Georgia Strait or whatever magazines, my name is the man who killed jazz.
Oh, geez.
It's going to live with me forever. And I love the music. It was a business decision, right?
Yes.
So that took me to Toronto, to Chum, which is an amazing company in that. But the culture was wrong and my decision was wrong. I didn't fit. And we had a blowout that with the owner. And we laugh about it now because we don't know whether I quit or he fired me or a bit of both. But that was the biggest break that ever happened in my entire life. I'm sitting at home. And I get a call from Gary Slate, Standard Radio. And just for the listeners, Standard Radio was owned by Alan Slate, who launched CHED with my dad. They were best friends in 1955. Gary's born 2 months after me, three blocks away. So here's a lifer phone call to come over to CKFM, which arguably one of the top five FMs in all of Canada. Mm-hmm. And again, spectacular, dynamic, amazing company. Alan, of course, is, you know, he passed away last year. One of the richest men in Canada, brought the Toronto Raptors and a huge community thing as well. I mean, it's not ironic. He's passed away, I think it's close to $250, $300 million they've given to charity in Canada.
Yeah.
So, but it was Toronto. I had two brand new kids, you know, Ryan and Lauren were three, five, six, something like that. And I couldn't afford, you know, to live in downtown Toronto where I wanted to be. So mm-hmm. I was in Pickering. And that traffic would mean that I would be 2 hours on the way in, 2 hours on the way back. I wouldn't see them because they're not up when I leave and they're in bed when I get home. And one accident, they take them out on a helicopter. And so this went on for 2 years. I said, Gary, I can't do this anymore. So I went back to Vancouver and was a year there until I got laid off, knowing something was going on. And sure as heck, they're selling the company. So I'm out of a gig. And I get that next phone call from Gary. How would you like to go home? And that's when I joined Standard Radio to come back to Edmonton. That's when we flipped CJKE in the building, the CTV building. Mm-hmm. The Bear was massive. I mean, huge massive. Success. Massive. Yeah. And used literally the same philosophies that my dad had taught me, is be really careful on your hiring. You know, make sure you handpick that staff. And, you know, we had such strong people in all areas, great, great people. You know, all three of the program directors all won Station of the Year, Program Director of the Year. You know, we won every creative award you could. You know, some of the funniest commercials. I remember sitting in the United Way with Ann Smith and Don Wheaton, and they start out talking about the crazy commercials that we had on the air. These are the elite business leaders, right? And then, of course, the sports station, everybody thought we were crazy. There's no broadcast rights. And I won't say his name, but Bryn Griffiths and I laughed. The first line was, they'll be playing polka music in 6 months. Well, 20 years later, it's the one of the very few remaining in all of Canada and is extremely strong. And then Easy Rock, they bought that from Telemedia. And again, how lucky I was. I'm a AC, Adult Contemporary Program Director. It's my wheelhouse. Yeah. So we buy that and Gary goes, okay, we got to do some layoffs, including the program director. And I go, the program director? He says, Marty, you can do this in your sleep. I'll never forget that line. So I ended up programming, co-programming, you know, both of those stations, VP, general manager of the entire operation, until I age 57, when I wrote a letter to Gary and Alan saying, you guys knew I wanted to retire at age 58. And they said, well, hang on, hop a plane. I said, what? I said, front of the bus or back of the bus? That was the indicator. Front of the bus. Okay, this is good. So fly down to Toronto and get the news that Standard has been sold or is about to be sold, and that a couple of nice things are going to happen. One, you're on a protected list. They can't fire you. Okay. I go, this is wonderful. But then I thought, okay, if they want to come in and make changes to what I've been doing, if it doesn't fit that culture, I'm at the age now where again, I'm not fighting anybody. Mm-hmm. So ironically, the first thing they do is sign Easy Rock off, fire a dozen people that I'd all hired, and turn Virgin, which is nowhere near the performer that, that Easy Rock was. So it was the right time and the right move. And Astral, bless them, called a week later and said, "Can you fly in and see us?" And I thought I'd have some fun. I go, "Front of the bus or back of the bus?" They go, "What does Gary do?" I said, "Front of the bus." So I fly there, get out of the airport. There's a beautiful limousine waiting for me there. They take me to a boutique hotel in Old Quebec. I open the door. The two fireplaces are going, and there's classical music and a bottle of wine. Oh. Welcome to Montreal. So I go, "This is good." And then, so I'd never met these people. So I go to the headquarters, and I'll never forget, this is very funny, and pardon the ego, but sitting in the room, the door opens, Jacques Parisien is the president's name, and the very first thing he says to me is, "You know you're a legend."
Oh, there you go.
And he says, "Do you really own a place in Phoenix and fly down and ride motorcycles?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do."
He probably loved that.
He loved it. So we ended up, which is great. It was great bonding. It lessened everything. He said, "Well, I love that." So I signed a deal with them in a consulting vein for 3 years, which helped me launch RadioWise, mm-hmm. my own company.
That's right.
And I was supposed to do a course for all the up and coming general managers, which I thought was a great idea on how to do this position. And they'd identified, you know, the evolution of who was going to go into those positions. And then of course the economy hits and boom, away we go. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, they also had asked me to co-produce radiothons like we did here for the Stollery.
Yeah.
And to run it for the entire chain. So we did three radiothons, raised $21 million for kids' charities.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. And so literally flew into every market across Canada, showed them how to do it. I believe I can't find the record for anybody doing anything bigger. I mean, the Bell, no, let's talk kind of thing kind of dwarfs it at that point. But so I did that for 3 years. And then with RadioWise, what I wanted to do, because I got a nice thank you when the company sold, that I could afford to do what I wanted to do. Right. And I decided that I was going to design RadioWise twofold. One was to work on making clients understand declining media versus inclining media. So radio, television, and print, bless them. We've got a lot of friends. I mean, no ill towards them. It's statistics. It's changing. Yeah. That digital media was coming. And all of a sudden, I'm going to conferences and learning about this new age. And the neatest one I went to is called Hivio. And Mark Ramsey, arguably one of the top consultants in the world, decided that conventions, because of these giant corporations, are just getting dwindled down. Nobody's going to speak. There's not an interchange of ideas. So they had to change the scope of it. So he put out a criteria where he was going to invite the top 100 thinkers in the world to come to this conference and talk about where digital's going. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
The criteria that I loved was success in traditional, but think digital. I'll never forget that. So I apply and I get in. And there's only one other Canadian, Chris Boyce out of CBC, who built all of their digital, you know, brilliant guy. So all of a sudden we're sitting in a room with EA Sports and Pandora and Spotify and Netflix, hearing for the first time what these guys are going to do. And there's not a radio person in this conference. They're from Russia and the UK. And I'm mm-hmm. exchanging business cards like crazy with all these people saying, "Man, we got a new era." We have a whole new era. Mm-hmm. So that's what I designed. My first client was TELUS World of Science. I did all of their brand new website, which is still one of the finest in the world. Make-A-Wish, Waterloo Motors, Boston Pizza of Northern Alberta. I did all of their Twitter and Facebook integration. Launched a new station in Red Deer with a company down there. Consulted a company in Lethbridge for a year on a redo of their radios. I don't know where I find the time, but really, really interesting projects. But the second phase was the pay it forward. And I decided that I really wanted to work with people I liked and respected, and then I'm not going to get in and fight anybody anymore. It's mm-hmm. just 40 years at that point, 50 years at that point. I'm not doing that. So along comes our friend John Cameron.
Yes.
And I get an introduction and I go to this crazy little boardroom and I hear about this Edmonton singing Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, this is pretty wild. And in the bottom corner, they had the funds were going to go to YWCA or some other project like that. And John looks over and he says, Forbes, your dad, Santa's Anonymous? Yeah. He erases that and goes, this money's going to go to Santa's Anonymous, Christmas. So for the first 3 or 4 years, I can't remember what we raised, probably mm-hmm. close to $500,000, you know, yeah. to Santa's Anonymous, and walk in with that check to dad's old building to hand right. that. So I did that until this year when everything had shut down over COVID. And when they opened things up on April 1st, I had lost 3 trips, Euro trips. I love going to Europe every year. And my wife, Kim, had not been away for 4 years. And then everybody's attitude was, we better catch up from the 2 years we just lost. And here's the new 2-year, 3-year, 5-year plans. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at this workload going, I'm not going to do this any longer. This is 52 years. And I prefer to be floating down the Giro on a nice river cruise, not worrying about, you know, writing a script for a broadcaster's luncheon or such and such. And for the last year, that's what I've been doing. I just got back from Italy, Austria, Germany, and Hungary. And the 2-week private tour, we had our own buses and private guides in each country, in each city, no lineups, whatever. Kim and I are doing, my wife and are doing our river cruise up the Giro in Portugal in April. Mm-hmm. And then in September, this time right now, next year, I'm going to be sitting in Sweden and going back to the World Junior Championships. I went to the ones in Prague, and it's a 24-day tour and all the games. And then we're hopping into Copenhagen, Oslo, Brussels, Bruges, Flanders Field, and finishing up in Paris. So that's way better than...
Wow. Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a podcast just like this one? Well, I can help. My name is Matt Kundel, and everyone at my company, the Sound Off Podcast Network, had a hand in making this show. Whether it was about the sound, the discoverability, or that you're just enjoying the show, we are all about the detail. If you think you have a podcast in you, reach out to me via email, matt@soundoff.network, or check out the website and become one of the great podcasts we work with at soundoff.network.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Marty, you deserve this. I'm so happy to hear that you're putting you first now. It's time. It's time. After that career, I mean, you've done it all. When you look back at all of the places you worked, all the people that you met, the things you accomplished, you know, I'm not going to narrow down one thing or one highlight. It's probably almost impossible. But is there something you're most proud of?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. The number one question I get is very similar to that. After all the great stations you worked with in radio, what's the biggest highlight for you? And I go, my daughter, Lauren, my daughter, Rayanne, and now my grandson, Liam. Mm-hmm. I worked for the name Forbes. Didn't matter who owned us. There's not one single operator that I work for that's still here right now. They're all gone. Okay. So all of that allegiance and that was great mm-hmm. at a time, but they're gone. So I never, ever stopped the focus on my family. You know, in media, how hard we work, you know,
yes.
9 to 5, Monday to Friday, then emceeing and United Ways. And I miss Rayanne's birthday 5 years in a row because of our company meetings. And I'm down in Barbados. It's minus 30. And, you know, I miss my daughter's birthday and all mm-hmm. that. So the whole focus for me, was never to forget, you know, how lucky I am mm-hmm. at home to have, you know, a wife like Kim who just, that wife's look. Yes. Hey, Kim, here's what we're going to do. We just got this beautiful new house in Vancouver. We're going to go to Toronto. And you get that look and you go, okay, well, Okay. Away we go again. Away we go. So it can't be done unless you have, you know, I've got three daughters is what I like to say. Yeah. They've got this little club that they just welcome me into from time to time.
It's so beautiful. It's so powerful to hear you say that family first, because you alluded to, you know, for women, it's a lot more challenging in the industry. And I felt that pain and went through that myself. And little story too, you know, when you talk about you weren't there for birthdays, I remember Cash, my son, used to call our dining table the birthday table. And I said to him, he goes, when are we going to eat at the birthday table? I go, what's the birthday table? He goes, well, that table over there in the corner, we only eat there at birthdays. It's the
amazing,
only time.
Yeah.
And that's because I was never ever home for dinner because I was reading the news. I couldn't.
Or your mind is elsewhere. You're home, but your mind is elsewhere.
Yeah, because your 24/7 job.
Yeah, I tell people a bank gets robbed at 5 after 5. The guy's at home, phones the insurance. He doesn't care, right?
Yeah.
You know, Kim would laugh because in the morning she'd see all these notes pre-iPad sitting on the floor. I can barely read them. And said, were you working last night? I said, yeah, I guess I must have been. Right? That's what motivated successful people do. So they bring the levity, you know. Mm-hmm. This little guy, this Liam, is just, he's the salt of the earth for me. And I'm just so blessed to have him. And we get him twice a week. And I'm learning more from him. And the power of these kids with what they can do is scary.
Yes, it's really
scary.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you Grandpa then? Is that what he calls you?
Yep. I asked him what my name is. It's Grandpa.
Oh,
and he loves to tease. Who's the best grandpa in the world? And he goes, you won't answer. Well, not you.
I wonder where he gets that from.
Yeah.
That's a Forbes through and through. I mean, come on.
I had to go pick him up at school one day and it was cold out. And he comes walking out and goes and looks and goes, Grandpa, you parked too far away. By the time I got home here, he's already told Mom and his mom and Kim, Grandpa parks too far away. Can you come pick me up? It was like 15, 20 feet.
Yeah. That's cute. And that's the best part of life. So I'm glad that you are soaking all that up after such an incredible, brilliant career.
Oh, thank
you. There's a few things I would love to dig into and issues that you can shed your perspective on because you've lived it all. Because I have a predominantly female audience listening, I want to put you on the spot here because, you know, back in the day, there were, you said to me, there weren't even female DJs on the air. We didn't exist, right? And so let's fast forward now to a different sort of issue because it's talked about a lot. And Lisa LaFlamme comes to mind, who I know, love, and have so much, one of the best broadcasters in Canada. And so many, with, you know, people saying, articles, everyone, that she was let go because, you know, she let her hair go gray. Like it was an issue of ageism. Is ageism a thing in today's media world? Has it always been a thing?
In Canada, yeah. In the States, no.
Tell me.
If you look at your cable, and I get Detroit, and look at that crew, men and women, they've been there for years and years and years. You could go down in Phoenix, there's hardly ever a change. Here, yes. Here's the difference, and here's the biggest thing that has gone on with consolidation. Okay. Now we still have tons of friends. I don't want to offend anybody. There's people that love what they're doing. They're great. But when radio and media was in the heyday, every property was run locally. It was run by a person who had to look after the talent. And we've always used that line, talent, whether you're radio, you know, an announcer, a journalist, you're the talent that runs this place, that makes this place go.
Yes.
And we were always cognizant of that. The public appearances, you know, Carrie, I need you to go to the Christmas thing.
All the time.
Okay. And there's a payoff for all of that. So when these big telcos took over, all they started to do was worry about price point of the stock. Has nothing to do with the talent. Look at the talent that has walked out the door of every industry, morning shows, you know, newscasters, journalists, whatever, walked out the door. And it's because we are about the seventh tier in their revenue tree. We follow hockey players, football players, baseball teams, cable, satellite, cell phones. Am I at eight yet? There's probably a few more pay-per-view, whatever. So we're down at what they call the cost part of the business. I know my brother's a lawyer that was part of the Astral deal, and he says, they didn't realize how much money you guys make. Thank God. And okay. So what are they cutting? They're cutting the talent at a point, you know, Daryl McIntyre, let's use our pal there.
Yes.
You know, we can name a ton that just ton, are out. Yeah. And locally, I don't know if you've noticed the last year of the seven or eight prime people who have left television specifically.
Yes.
Everyone has gone to government or another job.
Yes.
Outside the media. They didn't move outside of media. So now we're at a point where it keeps backdropping the original intent. Yeah, we can afford not to have an all-night show. Well, yeah, we can afford not to have a weekend Sunday morning show. Now it's Saturday afternoon. Now it's Saturday night. Now it's bringing in morning shows from other countries. Mm-hmm. We had three stations in town in Edmonton that had morning shows outside Edmonton, one of them outside the country, Seattle, Washington.
Yeah,
nuts. Okay? Nuts. So we have a complete lack of respect for the word talent. And that's, I think Lisa's was a whole bunch of things. It might have been part money, part pension, part whatever, attitude. There's never just one thing, but ageism is there. And I don't know if this is fair or not to say, you have to stay current in this business. Mm-hmm. If you're not, and that's the hardest part, you can be in your 50s and 60s and totally out of touch, then you're a target to begin with. And that's more of a radio thing than that. I can tell when someone's not into current things, right? But the other thing that has happened this last week, they just replaced the top three people of the CRTC at a time when Bill C-11 and Bill C-18 about digital rights are out there. None of them are on Twitter. None of them have broadcast experience. So our top three people that are supposed to fix this situation and take it in the next generation are not even in the business. Mm-hmm. And my favorite line I've used 100 times, but it works, is doctors have doctors on their boards. Lawyers have lawyers on their boards. Accountants have accountants on their boards. Radio has doctors, lawyers, and accountants on our boards. There's nobody that you can sit in a room. Okay. And I'll bring this back to the big telcos. They now walk in and say, this is the way it's going to be. It isn't like subservient, like I would fear going in front of the CRTC. I'd be soaked talking to people who understood why we had to change a format. Mm-hmm. Now they're walking in, and I've heard some rumors about some things happening next year are going to be shocking. It's going to be shocking and defy the rules that were all set up for the benefit. Now, and everybody thinks I'm crazy for thinking this one thing I'm thinking. Okay.
Can you share it?
Yeah, yeah. For 50 years, we've been supporting Canadian talent. I have no problem with that. Nor does Drake, Bieber, Sarah McLachlan, Celine. They get the same rights that you and I would to put our single on the radio for 50, 52 years now. Okay. All the cutbacks are coming into journalism and announcers. What is more Canadian content than the verbal of a city and a community that loses that? Is that not Canadian talent and imperative to the Canadian identity? There's no chat about it whatsoever. If you go to some of these markets where they've taken everybody out, they have a promise of performance that they applied for that they're not adhering to. Okay. They're breaking the law and they don't care. They're bigger now than, and it's not even the CRTC, it's Heritage Canada now. Heritage Canada makes the CRTC walk. But in a digital era where we now have a generation that is growing up with literally no current media.
Yeah.
There's no newspaper left in essence.
No.
TV, you've seen what happened. My daughters all cut their cable. They have everything's on demand. Mm-hmm. You know, YouTube has 65% of the Canadian population subscribes to YouTube. They just got the NFL rights for next year for $18 billion. All of these,
that's the direction. That's what I wanted to ask you about, is where you see this all going, because you're so tapped into it. But in asking that question, I want there to be benefit for, let's say, local businesses? Because when you were trying to grow your business, you would turn to local media to advertise. You turn to the 630 Cheds and you turn to CTV and Global and to get your message out there. In this digital age, what should companies be doing?
Well, it's a great question too. And I'll use the Edmonton Singing Christmas Tree. Through the whole evolution, I drilled it into John and the crew. Who has more passion, knowledge, and love for what we do than us? Why are we going to hand it off to a graduate from a broadcast school who moved in here and, you know, that has no live programming, whatever kind of thing, right? And the resultant growth of podcasting is no surprise with all the stuff that's been taken off the air. And I call podcasting a club. I mean, I've got my pocket casts all designed with my favorite ones. I can listen to a podcast on my motorcycle now. And I know, and I've got all the old guys that I hang with. Oh, it's too confusing. I said, I'll show you two buttons how you can listen to Carrie's show. Boom, boom. Yeah. In your car, in an airplane, downloaded to your iPad. So we've pushed people off to these platforms with really no work to make them go back to whatever they did before as a pattern. The local newscasts are 12 minutes, if that. Yeah. It's all fill. I watched the other day a 5-minute piece on a drug center in Kelowna. And I'm going, oh, I guess we don't have a problem in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a concern here. So some of these elements, and again, this generation is now used to finding whatever they want in the world in a second. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, Rayanne, now, do you read the paper? Dad, and listen to this logic. Dad, why would I take an 80-page document and go all the way through it, reading things that are of absolutely no interest to me to find the two or three things that are interested in me that I have set on my Twitter account with an alert that when happens, I'm going to find it. And again, out of the mouths of my child, I go, I never thought of it like that. We started with television DVR. Kim's never watched a commercial since the day the DVR PVR was built on Young and Restless. That's absolutely wasted money. So now that's this new era and everything. Coming back from Europe, you cannot exist without these anymore. Mm-hmm. Every menu, they won't give you a paper copy. Get your phone out, sir. The Canada app, the maps, everything. You have to have it all with you. So we're now attuned to the cell phone being the most powerful thing you have. Mm-hmm. Radio, television, newspapers, text, push notices, YouTube. Everything's on here now, and it's going to be hard to recover from.
You know, what's extraordinary is how plugged in you are to this technology, because I still meet people all the time, whether it's grandma and grandpas or people, you know, there is no age attached to this, or the youngers are so plugged in, but there's some people go, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to log on to Twitter. I never use that. What is these tweets and stuff? They have to get plugged in or they're just going to get dramatically left behind.
We have a couple of our friends that I love and adore. Some of them are 50-year veterans that I've volunteered. One of them used to run a newspaper. And I said, how can you not be, is that not ingrained? You want to know what's going on in the world? Well, I don't know how to, it's two buttons.
Yeah.
And so I can design it so there's no wastage. It's only the things you want. You know, a podcast topic, you know, a new Yellowstone comes on TV. I get a push notice within a second and I go over and watch the TV show. Do you want to understand that kind of thing? And it, you know, I felt sorry in coming back on this trip. Some of these old people in Amsterdam, they now have an automated check-in. So you got the right-hand side with those guys with the machine guns and that your guilty look. Then you watch these poor older people come up to the automated machines. They stand there trying to figure out where the passport and how it should go. There's no one to help them.
Yeah.
And now you've got 200 people behind you screaming at you and they go like this. So yeah, this is, if you can't keep up now, it isn't getting any better.
What about all of this transition into this digital world? Does any of it scare you? And if so, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not all good. I mean, the story in Toronto this week about those six or eight little girls that murdered the the guy, all met, didn't know each other. Two of them did. And they somehow got together and thought it was okay to murder a guy over a bottle of booze. That fascinates me. I know a lot of the Elon Musk handling of Twitter has just been an absolute disaster.
Agreed.
You watch, you know, the Donald Trump stupidity that he, whatever he puts out, you know, 80 million people follow him on, I don't know what his other new platform is, and he can say the stupidest stuff in the world. And everybody goes, yeah, must be right. Donald Trump would know.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got to be your own filter. You've got to know and understand. I know our friend Bryn gets mad, or Gordy Whitehead gets mad, and well, I'm getting off of Twitter. And I said, well, then just learn how to mute, learn how to tag a word. And you know, why are you worried about somebody that you don't know in Cleveland that got mad at you for dumping on an American? Like, why is it? So you know, and have to understand. For kids, yeah. I know our Liam is on the damn iPad all the time, and the upside is I can't believe what he's learning. The downside is you got to pull him off the way our parents did with television, going, okay, you got homework. So there's maintenance to that. And then we're also now in a digital explosion world. I mean, this mastodon, meaning there's just way too much of everything. You know, we get used to laugh at, well, our cable bills, you know, $49. I've got every streaming service. I was in the Renew the other day, you know, and I have two homes. So I'm paying, you know, $500 a month to Shaw.
Yeah. Okay?
And I finally went in the other day to the guy and I said, now you don't have a loyalty program, but I've been with you since day one. My dad knew QCTV. I have two homes. I spend I'm up for renewal. I know you don't have a package. Can I maybe get some consideration? And he laughed and says, I'll be right back. And he cut my bill back. I said, I know.
Well, that was good. That worked out well.
Yeah. So yeah, there's way too much of everything, and you have to be able to pull yourself off. I'm on too much, more so because I'm always learning, and I'm insatiable with news. I mean, I watched the whole Zelensky thing the other day. My heart's pounding watching that guy, and then I'm going to see the comments and see what, you know, the crazy Marjorie Taylor Greens are saying about it. And so, but that's,
I have the same, and I watch everything online and read everything online, and I filter through what I know are reliable sources, or watch it live, and or watch the I call it tape. I'm dating myself, but the broadcast of it later to make my own assumptions of it and to interpret it by myself. Because and I've worked in the industry for 25 plus years, and I'm sorry to my colleagues, but I never ever watch the 6 o'clock news.
Yeah.
I can't, like, I everything that I get is either on my phone or on my computer. It's the world we live in.
But you also had managers and people air check you and critique you your whole life.
Yes.
It doesn't bother you as much. Like, you would listen to people you respected, but these are people that don't know you, that, your hair's too, that's the bad part. I feel sorry for, especially women, you know, these wing nuts that are making fun of their weight or their clothes, or for God's sake, get a life.
Yeah, you know? I had it all, lived through it all, but it is interesting to see the direction that it's going, and just how you have helped so many people navigate this, because the change has been fast and furious. And it's, as you pointed out, it's not done.
No, exactly.
I could sit here literally and talk to you all day, but you look back on your career and the highlights and the things that you did. I mean, did you live a dream?
Oh,
is there anything you'd change?
No, and that's a great question too. I mean, you know, there were times when you lose a gig and you're sitting in Toronto and you think, this is it, I'm over and done. I got three kids, and then bing, the phone, you know, you don't have enough confidence in yourself to go, okay, I can handle 2 weeks unemployed, whatever. No, dad's used a line that says, media will make you smart. And I love that, because I had to know, his line is, I'm not an expert in anything. I know a little bit about a lot. And radio and media make you, you know, catch those touch points and go, I better do that. Mm-hmm. But the world of travel is what was opened up for me. I mean, that's the part that I, you know, at a point in our lives, we looked over and said to each other, let's stop going to Maui all the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to be in a former communist country. I want to understand, not book learning, because we don't get the truth over there. Mm-hmm. And to sit and travel and meet some of the people that I have. I'll tell you a quick little story. We're in Budapest and Kim thinks I'm crazy. And I'm walking through a war park. All these beautiful statues, water fountains and that. There's a lady sitting with about a three-year-old little girl. And I'm walking by and I look over and she gives a little smile. And I walk up to her and I go, hello, English, and shakes her head. And I pointed at the little girl and I said, beautiful. And she smiled. And I pick up my phone, take a picture of Liam and hold it up and said, my grandson, Liam. And she smiles, a bigger smile. And I said, can I take your picture? Can I take your picture? And she nods yes. Okay. She understood that part. I have that picture that I swear I'm going to blow up because it's the Mona Lisa to me. Okay. The smile of this young mom holding a three-year-old little girl. We don't do any exchange whatsoever other than sign language and a couple. That's travel to me. Okay. And all of our guides, I sat in the Czech Republic, the very front with the guide, and Luca was his name. And I said, okay, I'm Canadian. I apologize. If I offend you, please tell me and I'll be quiet. But what was it like growing up under communism rule? Carrie, my jaw dropped. I knew nothing. You know, you what? You know, the military take 2 to 3 years to apply to leave the country, fill out a 20-page document, have it all signed and authorized, take it to the border. If they don't like one answer, they rip it up and you're not leaving the country. No telephones, a state television. They got no outside world. And you sit there and you go, why don't I know this? You know? So being able to, you know, I rode motorcycles all the way through Europe. The best thing with 24 people from Taiwan, Brazil, Chile, and the US, and stopped in all of these little towns that were all under siege in the war and talked to people. And you get on the plane back home and you look at your buddy and go, it's the best thing I ever did in my entire life. Wow. So it's the learning and and having the wherewithal to get and do that has changed my whole family's life. I mean, I try to take the girls, crazy expensive now, but as often as I can, to see how lucky we are, even in a crazy country with all the stupidity we put up with. But radio in my career opened that to me. So very rewarding.
Let's bring this conversation full circle and back to Santos Anonymous, because it is the holidays when we are recording this. And the common theme that was like throughout all of your jobs, positions in media, it was always all about giving back to the community and the power of community. So bring that full circle for us, Marty, about what people need to keep in mind this holiday season and what you've seen firsthand at Santos Anonymous and the power and the impact it has on community.
Great question. Thank you. The one thing, if you listen to Santos Anonymous, to A Creature with Stirring, and everything that he talked about was about the volunteers. And it was always you, not me, not us. So every time I go into that building, and I see there's maybe three full-time employees, the new lady, Angel Benedict, goddess.
Yeah.
Today's vision, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I'm running into people, and it's minus 30. They're standing outside. It's now with their vehicles now, but they used to have to stand outside and three generations. So for 60 years, we've got grandpa who's taught his son or daughter, and now their little kids, to do this. And I don't know if you noticed my tags on almost everything I've done over it the last week or so is hashtag teach your children. Mm. Okay. Teach your children. It's the people of Edmonton that understand the magnitude of this. You know, one of the things that Angel is working on, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but the very first thing she said to me, I want to point something out to you and see what you think. I said, okay. Okay, so what do you think of an inner city family that opens the door in the middle of a snowstorm and there's a stranger there holding garbage bags? Carrie, my jaw dropped. 60 years in that. I said, wow, I want to get little red and green bags and I want to have a Santa logo on it. I want them to have that bag forever.
Yeah.
And so it's it's understanding, you know, and I asked her, I know this may sound a crazy question. How many Ukrainian families are you handling? She said, we don't know. I said, boy, I'd love to find out. I know a bunch of people who have brought families over. I helped the program director get out of Russia with his wife who lived in the Ukraine. That was 2 months of insanity, right? Mm-hmm. So and what's called temporary poorness. Okay.
Yes.
The husband's gone. They're fighting. They're through a divorce, whatever. So when people see them roll into a nice area in town, so, well, this is Riverbend. So, well, that lady lost her husband, or they both lost their jobs. Okay. So understanding that the teach your children to sustain this thinking and help others. And I was, again, through Rand, I said to her the other day, Liam's got asthma now, so he's got this big puffer. And I said, do the kids make fun of him? He says, Dad, it's a different era. It's a different era. And I said, oh, yeah. Thank God. Yeah. He says, well, they go into these rooms now. I know Sandra Wojtas from the public school had me into their class one day. There wasn't one white kid in this class. They're all sitting in a circle with their shoes outside the door. And I walk in, and they introduce me as Mr. Forbes. And they all say, hello, Mr. Forbes. Mm-hmm. And you look around that room and go, thank goodness, what this world has changed so much. Mm-hmm. So for people to understand, you know, the better we make the entire community, we're all going to benefit from this. You know, it was a staple of the United Way. The stuff they're talking about when we were in all those years ago, they're still talking about it. Yes. You know, helping people. So that's where I'm at with Sandas. It's there's nothing like it in the world. I don't know any other building that does that as a full-time job. The ask was up 40 to 50% this year. 20,000 presents went out. Just think of that.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is. And Marty, you and your family are incredible for all that you have given back to our community, for the hours, the help. It's come in so many different levels, the leadership, the teaching, and it just doesn't stop. And even though I know you're retired, I'm sure, people know that they can call you up anytime and have a conversation or get guidance. So personally, I want to say thank you for the kindness, the friendship, the guidance you've given me over my career, the inspiration you've been, you know, you're a media giant, you're a legend in my eyes, and I'm forever grateful for the friendship that we have. I'm forever grateful that we have a Marty Forbes in the city of Edmonton, that we had your leadership and guidance and someone as great as you, and of course your dad, to lead us and navigate us through all time. So with a full heart and with full gratitude, I say thank you so much for sharing your story and stepping into the inner circle. It's been on top of list. I don't know what the hell took me so long to get you on this, but I'm so glad we did. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thanks, Belle. Truly honored and humbled, and I am thrilled to see what has happened with the inner circle. I mean, it's what a perfect step for you, and the respect I have for you from what you're doing with this thing. I love listening to them. I sometimes feel I'm in the outsiders club too, but men do listen to the inner circle.
I love it. Love you, Marty. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, pal.
I want to end today by extending my gratitude to you for listening. You know, time is our most precious commodity. We don't have enough of it most days. So I am so grateful that you shared some of your precious time with me. Thank you so much. For show notes and links to our guests and everything we talked about today, you can head to my website, carriedoll.co. That is CarrieDoll.co. Once you're there, you can find links to Instagram and Facebook. You can sign up for my newsletters and get information on my public speaking courses. I want to empower women and people everywhere to use their voice, to invest in themselves, and to be comfortable anytime, anywhere, giving a powerful, unforgettable speech. Come with me. Join the movement of the inner circle. Let's go on this journey together.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.
What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at ivisonvoice.com/podcast.